Previously on the Jay and Dan podcast.
Mm-hmm. I saw Pandemic Rage for the first time. Mm-hmm. You're infecting my air! Put a mask on! You're infecting my air!
Mm-hmm. You're like, hey, it's me, Dan. Can I grind against you?
That's what I do when I go to concerts. Mm-hmm. Better put that out. There's a fire ban in Ontario. I'm like, can we not just go to the backyard for 5 minutes? Mm-hmm. And where did they find this? I didn't see this. I don't look up fire bans. I just light fires. Mm-hmm. You're seeing shirtless men everywhere.
And my mom. She's down at the Costco.
Who's going to stop her, Sean? Who's going to stop her?
But it's not legal. It's just in poor taste.
Mm-hmm. Now that we are supposed to touch our face, that's all I want to do.
I know, and I want to touch your face. Mm-hmm. Wash your hands, wipe your bum. And they said, isn't that in the wrong order? And I say, you do you.
Mm-hmm. Kids, watch this. How dare you litter?
You're listening to the Jay and Dan podcast, brought to you by our friends at McDonald's.
Dance.
Hey, welcome to the Jay and Dan podcast. We live in such a different time right now. We're doing this Skype, and it's on my phone. And I always check my phone to check the date because I would say for this date, April 10th, whatever. I have no clue what the date was, so I just had to Google it real quick. It's Monday, April 13th, because I can't get to my phone because we're doing the Skype from the phone. Anyway.
Well, you'd think that working from home would alleviate some of your stress, but just judging from the recap from last week, it seems like, if anything, your stress levels have gone through the roof considerably.
And yes, my stress level, because I heard on that recap, my audio was so bad because I was using my fake ear pods. There's a cat on the stove. Using my fake ear pods, and the sound was bad. So now I've gone to the ones that come with your phone, plugged right into the phone. So is my audio better?
It sounds good to me. Stoff, you're the judge.
Coming nice and clear here.
There's Ginny. Ginny, the cat's behind me right now. Ginny, the little scene cat.
I will say that...
Meow.
I've really noticed is that you are... I had cats with my first wife years ago, and our cats never crawled around on our kitchen counters and stoves.
Oh, no, they aren't like supposed to. They aren't supposed to because... Ginny, get down. Oh, she fell in the sink.
Oh, she's gone down the sink. She's down the drain. She's going down the drain.
Yeah, so...
Cute little kitty. How old is Ginny?
Ginny's, how old are you? She says a year and a half, maybe?
This has been Cat Talk with Jay and Dan. We're going insane. Stoff, are you wearing a Jaws t-shirt?
Yes, I am. Well, you can tell from that angle.
Yeah, cool t-shirt, man. Cool t-shirt. Thank you. I still love Stoff's shot with the blurred background. Man, it's a beaut.
You never know what's going on back there.
How was everyone's Easter?
Yeah, mine was great. Stoff, did you do a big ham or?
No, nothing too special. Nothing in particular.
You could have done a, did you do a hammy?
What did you do?
Nothing. We drove down to my parents and visited them from the driveway.
Oh, a lot of that stuff going on. My dad had his 70th birthday a week and a half ago, and they live in like a seniors gated community in Kelowna, and everybody brought their lawn chairs and sort of had them on the edge of the driveway, but they were 6 feet apart from each other. So the shot was amazing. Like, it was like my parents at the top of the driveway near their door, and then, like, you know, 30 other people spread out over the or along the road in their lawn chairs. And I just thought, like, how do you have conversation? Are you yelling at each other? Like, Dale, happy birthday. All right, we're going back in now. This is terrible.
And if they posted a picture of that, people would be like, you can't do that.
This is just when they got back from Palm Springs, so maybe a week after the Rudy Gobert thing. So, yeah, I don't know if you could do it now, but they were, I mean, legitimately, they were that far apart from each other. But all I could think of was, can you imagine if you could go back in time to even February and say to my dad, hey, Dad, you want to see a picture of what your 70th birthday party is going to look like? Here it is. And then he would be like, what the f*** is going on here? Like, what's everyone doing? Why are we outside in lawn chairs spread apart like this?
But can I also point out, if I could done that for my 40th birthday, where I had lunch alone at a restaurant in L.A., I could have said the same thing. If I looked 3 months into the future, I couldn't have predicted that.
I didn't realize you had lunch alone. Where were we? What were we?
No, we worked that. We worked that night.
Oh.
I just went for lunch. I just was sitting there. It was very peaceful, though. It was at the Ritz in Marina Del Rey in L.A., looking over the water.
Right.
Because I think they felt really bad, I went there for a very specific menu item. It was like mushroom risotto that is unreal. And it wasn't on the menu. And I said to the lady, I'm like, I'm having lunch for my birthday. Any chance they can cook that up? She goes back to the kitchen. She goes, yes, they're going to cook it up for you. So I got an off-menu item for my birthday because of their pity.
Oof, that's pretty sad. I can't believe we haven't had this brought up before. Did you think about, I don't know, like maybe treating yourself to something, like going to... Why didn't you take the night off that night? I'm surprised you didn't take the night off.
Nah. Well, we always made fun of Donovan McNabb because they gave him the night off one night. We're like, why is Donovan not here? And they're like, ah, it's his birthday. We gave him the night. I'm like, what? We're adults.
Yeah. Donovan played by a different set of rules both on the field and in his broadcasting career. And unfortunately, in other aspects of his personal life too. But when you think about it, you should get your birthday off from work. You know, you really should. That should be like a nationwide thing. Just birthday, take the day off, pal. Why not?
And again, I've said this before, if I'm elected prime minister, so you'll have your birthday off and one paycheck per year, you pay no income tax.
Yeah. Okay. Sure. Yeah. Why not? I like one paycheck idea. That's a very slogan.
One paycheck O'Toole.
Yeah. One check O'Toole. I like it.
Why not? Eh?
Well, I've always said I think that you should run for office when your broadcasting career is done. And judging by where we're currently broadcasting our television show, there is a good chance that our broadcasting career is done. But if it is still going, that's good. But if it's not, I love the idea of you running for office. You're a man of the people. You start as an MP out in the Kawartha Lakes region, and you just ride that wave right to the top, right to the Prime Minister's office, 24 Sussex.
Oh, and I've already got it. Yeah, I've got it planned out because I want to. And when people ask me questions, I'm not going to tiptoe around pretending I know what the topic is. I'm going to say, I don't have a clue what you're talking about, but I've got people that do.
Yeah, and
my name's Dan O'Toole, and I support this ad.
I'm not sure I mean, that might work once. That might work once or twice. That would be like charming and endearing for sure, like once. But if you kept going back to the well, like every press conference, there'd be two or three questions where you're like, again, I don't know that one.
I know how I take the questions. Sally from the CBC, yada, yada, yada. No clue. Jimmy, Global, no idea.
I always wondered if I was a professional athlete, like, can you imagine, you ever have dreams of, like, maybe
grandeur?
Absolutely, all the time. But do you ever have a dream, like, say, that you get invited to, like, say, a Leaf practice, and it's kind of like a David Ayers thing, and they see that you're playing goalie, and they're like, wow, Toolsy's pretty good, and we don't really have a backup, you know, a solid backup right now, let's let him go in, and then you become, a star. And all of a sudden, you're playing NHL hockey at the age of 44, and you are a star. Now, here's what happens. Then you get into the scrums. Okay, now you're in the scrums. I always thought to myself, if I was in that situation, every question, I would address the person by name and screw up all the clips, right? So I'd be like, yes, Siegel, yes, go. Mark Masters, yes, question from you. And then, you know, he'd ask the question. I'd be like, well, you know, Mark, here's the deal. The defense was terrible tonight. Riley was garbage. So, Mark, that's really what happened there. So I keep throwing in the names of the reporters to screw up everyone's clips so they could only use the clips that I specifically addressed the reporters in. This is the kind of time I've had on my hands, guys, to think about these types of
things. See, I would have gone different. If I went back, I'd throw meatballs into every answer. Oh, you got to like the meatballs on that guy. And then they're like, why is he always saying meatballs? And then that'd be my thing. Meatballs,
yeah.
O'Toole.
Yeah, that's what they'd be calling you. They'd be like, and in goal. I wish Andy Frost was still the PA guy for the Leafs. And in goal, number 42, Meatballs O'Toole. It would get to the point where you were like Chico Resch, where your name was your nickname.
I have, speaking of meatballs, I think I've said this before. I have a friend, Joe Paris, from my hometown of Peterborough. And we had a house party when my parents were away, as you do. And someone had gone in to the fridge and taken out like my mom's lasagna and made a mess. And there's like a meatball on the floor. I'm like, so I come out, everyone's like in the living room, like, who the F's eating spaghetti? Like, there's meatballs on the floor. And then my one buddy threw a meatball at me. So, and that would be Joe. So to this day, he and I call each other meatball. Like, hey, meatball.
So he just went and he's like, I'm hungry. Hey, some pasta. Oh,
well, yeah. Good. You go to a house party, you always look for food.
Really did that. But
as a teenager.
I was looking for booze. I was always like, where's the liquor cabinet? What can we raid here? We're not only ruining this person's home, how can we steal all their booze?
Hey, speaking of food, we discussed this over the weekend because I was texting you to see if the Easter Bunny came. And I revealed to you that my Easter dinner, as I mentioned on our TV show Monday night, very different Easter for everyone. Don't see your friends. You don't see your family. You probably don't have like maybe money to get like a big turkey, or you couldn't get in the grocery store. I tried to get a turkey on Sunday, or no, on Saturday. The lineup was like 30 people deep, and I'm like, I'm not doing this. So I said, kids, we had a frozen lasagna in the freezer. It's lasagna for Easter. So some new traditions. Maybe it's a new tradition.
Maybe that's what the Italians do. You know, they throw down a lasagna, probably frozen. I don't know. We also had Italian. We had spaghetti meatballs. My wife made homemade meatballs for the first time. I got to say, they were delicious.
My wife.
And I got to say, I really liked it. I like a ham at Easter, but I'm not like craving a ham at Easter. You know what I mean? It's not a craveable thing. I know you love ham, Toolsy. You grew up on a pig farm. Ham, to me, in that form, is not as good as, say, bacon or pork chops.
Oh, my kids hate the ham. That was the other saving grace. They're like, I'm like, lasagna? They're like, yeah, no problem. Yeah, and I got it from this like country butcher shop that I'd never been to before, bought it, and drove by today, and the guy's locking up the shop. I pull over. I said, that lasagna? Delicious.
Hey, come on into the meat.
I didn't say it that way. Hey, your lasagna.
Hey, it's me, Donald Duke. Lasagna you made for me, oh, perfecto.
And the chicken pot pies, mwah. I went and got the week's worth of groceries. Holy shit, I'm spending a lot on food. But the thing that they're out of now, flour.
Interesting.
I blame Natasha Stanishevsky.
Yeah, she's always baking. Boy, she, you know, if anyone could thrive during this COVID pandemic, it would be Natasha Stanishevsky, because she had her own little home baking show going on the interwebs, and there's no reason why she couldn't keep that bad boy going now.
I can't wait till this is all over and she has a house party and people go to open a door. She's like, no, not that door. Just flour behind every door.
She's a flour hoarder. Stanishevsky at your local Loblaws just loading up on Robin Hood. Natasha, you really need this much flour? Go f*** yourself.
But no, they have
whip it up Wednesday.
They had a sign at the store saying one bag of flour per family, so she'd have to come back in disguise.
You have like the Groucho Marx glasses and nose. Yeah,
one. One flower, please.
I'd like one flower. aren't you Natasha Stanishevsky? No, I'm famed silent film star Groucho Marx. Is he dead? Just package up my flower, please. See you in an hour. I mean, never. I mean, next week.
But, sir, you get the flower from the shelf and bring it to us. You don't order from us. This is not a restaurant.
Yeah, we should have Natasha on and see how she's doing. I haven't talked to too many of our fellow anchors, to be perfectly honest, other than Duffy we talk to all the time. But I wonder how everyone else is doing, if they're just hanging out.
I'm sure they're fine.
Yeah, I'm sure they're fine. I won't get a hold of them.
Hey, they haven't reached out to me, so why are we reaching out to them? Hey, We like them all, but it's just, you got other stuff on the go.
Who do you have a beef with, Dan, on our staff currently? I think this is the perfect time.
We talked about this before. I've got zero with anyone. We work with some good people.
All of them. They're all good people. When people say, all right, we'll go to an event and people are like, all right, who's, you know, what's this person like? This person, I'm like, they're all nice. They're all really nice. There's not a bad apple in the bunch.
But when we do the events on stage, we say the opposite.
Yeah, like we ham it up. Usually we make things up about our fellow anchors. Really nasty stuff, too. If you'd like to hire us for your next event in 2023, just go check our website, jayanddan.com. We should also mention, Dan, that we are back on in the morning on our television show this week, which is very exciting.
Yes, it's very confusing for my mom. She can't find it, so hopefully she'll find it Tuesday morning.
TSN 4 and 5 is my understanding. So basically the way it always was, we were always on TSN 4 and 5. We're going to be on those channels all morning long. You can just enjoy the hilarity.
So, guys, you have to judge.
It's guaranteed a good time.
You have to judge whether I'm going to create. What was that?
That was Dan saying it's guaranteed a good time.
Can we hear it again?
Our CK DJ drop,
It's guaranteed a good time.
Okay, it's better now.
Guaranteed a good time. I thought it was guaranteed to be a good time. That was just guaranteed a good time.
So here's what I started to do. I was cutting something in the basement the other day, and a little piece the size of a dice dropped off the end. I'm like, playfully, I'm like, I should make some dice. I'm now obsessed with making dice. These are wooden dice, so this one's not painted or anything. I don't know if you can see here. So have I gone crazy?
So, stupid question. How do you make dice? Do you just sand it down?
You cut it, like I cut them close to the size, and then I sand it until it's even on all sides. But I'm having a problem with making the actual numbers on there because it's a very intricate process. Anyway, I've gone insane.
And how, like, aren't they supposed to be, like, weighted and everything? Like,
well, these aren't going to be into gameplay, but I think, quickly, if you showed this one here to someone, I could say, hey, I found this. This is an old antique wooden die. You'd go for it, right?
Oh, yeah. I'd buy that 100%.
Yeah, perfect. Me too.
So that's my goal, is to trick antique shops. Hey, I found this.
The antique trickster. That could be a new show.
There's a big golden one.
I don't know if you noticed, but I haven't left the call, but I've gone to the kitchen to get some more wine here.
Should we call up our guest, though?
Yeah, sure. You want to show off your dice?
You can't even see them. I was just trying to get your take on them, which you didn't provide any.
You should see if Dolzato wants to buy one.
Well, I thought they were pretty, how do I say? They seemed like a rough draft of dice, Coolsy.
Oh, again, this is like day two. That's 2 days' worth. So by the end of this, I'm going to have around 100. And my daughter, Sydney, she said, you're really into that. I said, I'm not going to stop until I make the perfect one.
Yeah. Okay. Sure. You need something to do. Would you maybe think with your woodworking skills, maybe you make a birdhouse or something?
Oh, I have zero. That's the thing. I have zero woodworking skills. This is zero. Zero.
Well, maybe.
Lottie's wearing a suit.
I thought I'd treat you guys. You know, I've been in sweatpants for 4 weeks now.
Wow.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I got sweatpants on, though.
Michael Delzato joining us from his Oakville retreat.
Etobicoke. Not that far.
Etobicoke, Mance. Michael, I got to say, your shot, you could be on TSN right now. You got the bookshelf in the background.
You like that jacket?
You look like a hockey insider. We could hire you in a second. One small problem, we have no money. There are no sports left.
I'm not doing it for free, unfortunately. Just for you guys, though. I enjoy talking to you guys. You guys are hilarious. I love watching you guys, so thanks for having me.
So what have you been doing? So you made it back to Canada.
Yeah.
So you were stuck in the States, but now you're back. What have you been doing?
I've been trying to stay busy, trying to keep my routine. I'm going to bed. This is past my bedtime. I'm usually in bed by 9 every night, up at 6, working out first thing in the morning. I took a little bit of time off, and I find without the working out, it just, my mind wasn't right. So I've been working out every morning, which helps out the rest of the day. Ton of cooking, a lot of healthy baking, which is new for me. Been doing some online classes, learning how to speak Italian again. A ton of music too. Every Friday I'm going on Instagram Live. I'm doing a live DJ set from my kitchen, or from my dining room table, sorry. And I'm trying to raise money for families that are in need right now.
Oh, that's
awesome. Fantastic. The baking thing intrigues me, Michael, because we were just talking, our fellow anchor Natasha Stanishevsky is a fantastic baker, and she does a segment on her social media, Whip It Up Wednesday, she calls it. I like the idea of a collab between you and her, baking something together, perhaps. Maybe it's an Instagram Live. You do the double box thing. You guys each take an ingredient and you go for it. Maybe it's a competition or something, a cooking challenge.
I love that. I haven't baked before, so I've gotten into it because it takes a little bit of time. It kills the day up a bit. But I've added some kind of healthier ingredients because without the skating and working out as much now, I'm worried I'm going to blow up. So I'm trying as best I can to eat as well as I can and eat as least as possible as well.
Here's the problem I have with baking. So when you're like cooking dinner, you can fix a mistake. In baking, you can't. It's you screw up one little thing or screw up a sequence or the order it's supposed to go in, and then it's ruined. I hate it.
I baked this black bean brownie the other day, and I was in a rush. I don't know what I was rushing for. Like, I don't know what I had to do, but I was in a rush for some reason. I forgot to add the eggs in it, and it came out, and it was atrocious. I threw it out right away, and I have to start over from scratch. So I know exactly what you're talking about. It's frustrating, but again, now's the time to perfect it because I got nothing else to do.
And you said you're trying to learn Italian again. So take us through your family's obviously Italian, but like, did your grandparents speak Italian to you as a kid, and then you kind of lost it by not speaking it?
I know all the swear words. That's about it. But I was lucky growing up. I actually had my dad's parents live with us. And then my aunt and uncle live next door with my other grandparents. So super, super close Italian family. But my grandparents spoke English. So I was really fortunate. Fortunate or unfortunate, I guess, depends on how you look at it. I wish I learned. We're planning on going to Italy. We were supposed to go this summer. Obviously, that's not happening. But hopefully next summer. It was my mom's 60th this summer. So we're going to do a family trip. So ideally, if I can pick up as much as I can to allow me to, I guess, adapt or get more involved in the culture there, I think would be pretty cool.
So what is your Easter dinner? Because Jay and I, we earlier spoke, I had lasagna for Easter dinner. Jay had spaghetti and meatballs. As an Italian, what is your Easter dinner?
I haven't had Easter dinner since I was probably 14 or 15. So I honestly don't even know what it is, but I was lucky enough, my parents dropped by my place, and my mom made her famous homemade pizza. So she left it on my front steps. It's prosciutto and goat cheese.
Oh, man.
All my buddies wait all summer for the invite to come over when my mom comes and make that. It's a
so where do you get the prosciutto?
My grandpa makes it.
Oh!
Whoa! What?
My one grandpa that's still... the only grandparent I have left over. Yeah, he still makes prosciutto, salami, his own wine, vinegar. Oh. That's it all. Yeah, he's got the huge garden in the backyard. Yeah, we were spoiled, pretty spoiled growing up. Both my parents worked, so if they weren't around for dinner, I had either one of my my nonas to cook for me. So it was a treat.
Man, nona, that's pretty good.
Needless to say, I was a little chubby as a kid.
Well, Gene Oretta made some sauce this past. When do you make it?
Whenever you make this, like around August, Michael. You know, like when the tomatoes are good and everybody makes the sauce, right?
And it was the best sauce I've ever had.
Yeah, yeah, Gino made a nice sauce in the garage. I gotta say.
Does he make wine too, or is he just a sauce guy?
I don't know. I'm not sure I'd trust Gino's wine, but I definitely trust his sauce.
My grandpa's hilarious. Like we'd be having like a big dinner, and you know, I'd bring over like a nice bottle of Amarone or something, and he'd slam his wine on the table, and you'd try to offer him some of the, what you would call me, a more expensive good stuff. And he gives you the hand. He goes, that's so he's pretty proud of his own product.
So now that you come back in, you have a bottle of that after you obviously had some nice wine, obviously. How does it taste now that you have a better palate?
I like it. Cause I grew up with that. Right. So more than anything, you relive your childhood memories. It's more the experience of the wine, not so much the taste. His vinegar, though, I do swear by, as well as his frittata, is as good as it gets, and his meatball. So he does, aside from the wine, he's got some amazing recipes, and it's impossible to replicate.
He's like a one-man Italian deli.
He's got the big power barrel on him, too. He's a typical Italian. Everything just deep fried. It tastes.
Oh yeah.
So it's tough to get off the toilet later at night, though.
That thing cleans you out. So you're stockpiling all the TP. That's the person. Exactly. You've got it all.
Use it all. I gotta use the towels after those meals.
Hey, so where did you have a plan? Where were you gonna go in Italy?
We were supposed to do the Amalfi Coast. So me and my parents, my brother and his wife. We did Greece and Italy 2 summers ago for my dad's 60th, which was pretty epic. We had an awesome time. So like, you know, typical mother, she wanted one on my dad. So we're planning on doing Amalfi. But
how many times have you been?
Italy, that was the only time I've been. We did Rome, Florence, Cinque Terre, and that's it. Yeah, I love traveling. I travel as much as I can. Like every All-Star break, I go away. Like this past one, I actually went to Hawaii by myself, being the only single guy, no one to go away with. So it was pretty, it was enjoyable. And it was nice to, you kind of go away. I'm very much a planner. Like I have everything, to the bathroom break planned in my schedule, my itinerary. And I had no plan. I flew there, I had a hotel, and that was it. So the first day I ended up getting, pretty banged up on the Mai Tais. I've met a bunch of people. Next thing you know, I'm on a catamaran sunset cruise with 20 people I've never met. Next day, I went on a hike with this couple that just moved there from San Diego. He joined the Navy. It's a super, super sweet couple. And then the following day, I just kind of woke up and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go skydiving. And I went skydiving by myself. I have, you know, pictures and videos from that, which was probably the coolest experience of my life.
So Michael, you just described that's how I vacation. I just go and have no plan. Isn't it way better than having every single minute mapped out?
I think having a little middle ground would be nice. Cause
no.
Yeah. If you're going to a place that you don't know, the last thing you want to do, I'm a big believer. There's so many places I want to travel. So if I go somewhere, I want to do it right the first time, because hopefully it's the only time I go there. So the last thing you want to do is when you leave and be like, oh, you know, I forgot this.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense, yeah.
You know, there's a couple of things that you have to do when you go to certain places. So I think having that and then just getting lost. I went to Portugal a couple of years ago, me and my buddy, that's what we said, right? Just getting lost in the city, I think, is the coolest thing, because that's a way you get to know some of the locals and you just let the day take wherever it may be.
So, Michael, are you, when hockey's over for you, is Etobicoke where you're going to hang your hat? Are you going to retire there?
It's a perfect scenario for me right now with my parents being in Toronto. I train with Matt Nichol over at St. Mike's. I've been there 5-6 years. He's the absolute best. My buddy's here. But getting a taste of California this year, being in warm weather throughout the winter, there's That's special. You know, I've never had that. And it's definitely something to say about happiness every day, you know, no matter what happens at the rink or whatever your job may be. I think being able to come outside and it's 20 degrees, 70 degrees, depends where you are.
Here's what you do.
Sunny every day. You cannot beat that.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
You get the house right next to Scotty Upshaw when you retire, and boom.
I don't know about that. There'd be a lot of noise complaints. Hopefully by the time I'm retired, I'm not still single. I got a wife and some kids, and that's definitely not going to be the place to be.
No, but you're right. Like, it's you get a taste of it, and you know, when we first came back from living in L.A., I was so soft. I mean, I'm soft to begin with, but you soften up in the winter down there, and then you come back, and the first couple of winters were brutal back here, I thought, just because you're just not used to
it. Yeah, I came back here, it was middle or end of March, whatever it was, and same thing, it was, I don't know, 5 degrees, and it felt like minus 20 to me. It's amazing how quickly you soften up, because you're just used to the warm weather. But going back to your point about Etobicoke, and for me, New York is... I don't know if just because I started playing there at 19, and at that age, you're kind of a sponge and soak everything in. New York, to me, there's just something about that city. Every time I go there, the energy there, it brings out the best in me. It feels like home to me.
Who is your best teammate on the Rangers? Your favorite?
As far as what, hockey or off the ice?
Just anything. Like one guy, like, okay, if there's one person I call on that team, who would it be?
Probably Zuccarello. Like, my last year or two there, we were really close. We did everything together. Just so much fun to be around. All the time making jokes. There's never a dull moment with that guy. I've traveled with him. So he's just a guy you want to be around at all times, because you never have a bad day.
Do you still have a place there, and when can I use it?
I do not. My brother and his wife live there. They would love to have you. they're actually expecting their first. I have a nephew on the way in two or 3 weeks. Thank you. Yeah, really excited. Nerve-wracking too, with obviously what's going on and how crazy it is in that city. Scary time, but you know, they're doing well.
How are they coping? Can they get out?
They go out for walks. That's it. Walks and in the grocery store. They try to grocery shop once a week just to minimize contact, obviously, with other people. But they go on their walks, and they're working out from home every day. They're pretty pretty driven too. It's they got the Delzotto genes, where we're pretty motivated, pretty driven people. So they're staying positive, which is great.
So what is your daily contact with the NHLPA or the NHL? Are you guys getting daily emails? Are you guys getting texts? Do you have a representative who says, okay, here's the contingency plan, or you guys go a couple days without hearing anything?
Yeah, we get daily emails from the team. We have our representatives as well. There's not a whole lot of information. You might get something worthwhile maybe once a week. It's impossible to plan. Like, who knows what's going to happen. And as much as we want the season back, we want the playoffs back, we want someone to win a Stanley Cup, this is so much bigger than hockey. And you hear, you read and hear the tragic stories every single day. And it's heartbreaking, right? So as much as we want to get back to our jobs, as you guys want to get back to yours, and there's billions of other people who do as well, this is normal life right now. And trying to ensure everyone's safety is a number one priority.
And, you know, today on our TV show, we had Drew Doughty actually just coming out and frankly saying, I don't think there's going to be a season. I think the season's over. Like, this is one of the first times I've heard a player of his caliber, especially, say something like that. Do you feel that way? Have you talked to fellow teammates? Is there one way or another that you guys are leaning when it comes to the season that we're playing?
I definitely side with Drew. I don't know if he's saying just a season or playoffs. I think that I'm not sure. He's in a different position. I'm in a different position. We're not playoff teams. So I just don't see how the season is back, gets back up and running. But, you know, if you're on a playoff team and you're trying to make a Stanley Cup run, you're obviously wanting the season, back, because you just don't know when you'll get another chance to win it, right? And I respect that side of it. I understand that side of it as well. So I side with both sides. It's, again, it's a lot bigger than hockey, but, sometimes it's tough to see that when guys are, you're trying to live out your childhood dreams and win a Stanley Cup. So it's sometimes hard to look away from that.
Is it crazy to, when you're going to look back in your career, and if the season's canceled, you're going to be in one of those seasons where it's not played because of pandemic?
I want to say it's cool, but I mean, you could live telling your grandchildren that you lived during a historic moment or historic pandemic, depends how you want to look at it. It's interesting, kind of sucks in a way, but if there is no season, I guess, being a member of that Stanley Cup team, I guess we're still Stanley Cup champions. So it's kind of cool too, right? Probably to be back-to-back champions, I guess. I'm not sure how you'd look at that.
Who is your pick right now?
That's why the Raptors. That's what everyone says about the Raptors, Mike.
Yeah, there's that cool stat about Toronto winning championships, and then the following year there was none awarded. It was actually a pretty interesting stat. Goes to the Toronto curse. But Dan, to answer your question, my pick. That's a tough one. Really tough one. It's really a free for all this year. There is Tampa's such a great team, but after last year, it's really hard to go with them. I like St. Louis again. I don't have a team. I really don't. I think someone might surprise the team. It's just this year, it's just so even. You don't know what can happen.
And all these teams.
And that's the beauty of our sport, right? And that's what I love our sport the most is on any given night in the regular season, and then obviously come playoff time, you have no idea who's going to win. And that's, with basketball last year with Toronto was great, but come playoff time, until you get to playoffs, you have your 2-3 teams in each conference that are going to be there at the end of the year. And it's without the hard salary cap. It's tough to get behind a sport like that. And that's just my eyes. I love every sport. I love watching sports. But to me, that's the beauty of hockey is you have no idea who's going to win.
It's so funny.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say to Michael, you guys last year, to me, that broke the mold of all rebuilding forever. Because you guys being in last place in the league in January and then winning the cup. To me, it's like, well, then why rebuild ever?
A great example, too, is look at the Rangers this year. Everyone, they were rebuilding. They're supposed to be rebuilding. They're a great hockey club. They're fun to watch. They work their tails off. Obviously, they have a great coach. They're buying into the system. They have a ton of talent. And that's a team that are rotating three goalies, like kind of very unusual for hockey. Very, very unusual. But the new rebuilding to retooling, hats off to them. They've done an incredible job. And that just goes to show it's not always having a Connor McDavid certainly helps, but having a team that works well together, works for each other, and is committed to playing a certain system in the right way, it's amazing what can happen. And obviously, good goaltending, which is the key to any good team.
Well, yeah, you can look at so many teams' fan bases where they can say, this was our year. Even the freaking Flyers. Like, the Flyers have a couple of runs of, close to 9-10 wins in a row, don't they? And they were right there. They were about to surpass the Capitals if they won a few more. They were a point behind the Caps when this all paused.
Yeah, that would have been, I don't know if you can call them a dark horse, that would have been my team that they were definitely peaking at the right time.
Yeah.
The only thing there is with a younger goaltender, playoffs is just different. It's a different game. But up front, like that group they have up front is, probably the deepest forward group in the league.
Wouldn't a young goalie, I think, always be perfect in that situation because he doesn't have a chance to think about it?
Yeah, going into it a little bit naive and just playing. But once the nerves come in Philadelphia too, if they lose one or two and he lets a couple soft ones in, that's not a very forgiving fan base. Not at all. They could be quite cruel there. So I mean, you can argue both ways though.
Okay, switching it up. You mentioned the three goalies in New York, and so Henrik Lundqvist. Can you just tell us a little bit about Hank? Like, and sometimes I just think of that guy, and I think, is he the greatest life, or has he lived the greatest life ever? I mean, he doesn't have the cup, but he has everything else. He definitely has everything else.
The perfect hair. I've never seen a guy dress as well as he does for practice. He'll come to practice in like a three-piece. I'm like, dude, where are you going? But it was eye-opening for me because I, you know, at that time, you know, I was still 19 when I first played with them. You go to the rink in sweatpants, you just be casual. And this guy looked like a supermodel every single day. And it was amazing. But that's you just learn, like, that's how he carried himself. It didn't matter if you saw one person, a million people, he always carried himself that way and held himself to a higher standard. And it was, I mean, amazing to see every day. But him as a goaltender, probably to this day, still the most competitive guy I've ever played with or against. In practice, he would not want to let in one single goal. I'd celebrate every time I scored on him because it didn't happen often. And he'd always fire a puck at you afterwards. Like, he was a bit of a psychopath when it came that way. But he is so competitive. Hilarious. So whenever he loses, I don't know if he still does it. Whenever he lost in a shootout, he'd come back in. And the soap dispenser in the showers did not stand a chance every single time. If it was a shootout loss, that thing was just smashed to pieces on the bottom of the shower floor. It was like his thing.
He's a Ranger legend. Is Adam Graves? I've met Adam Graves like a couple times, and just the aura that guy puts off.
Yeah,
is he maybe the greatest Ranger of all time?
He is the nicest human being ever, and I'll leave it at that. The nicest human being you'll ever meet, and anyone who's met him will say the same thing. The nicest human. He's the guy that you want your daughter to marry.
Yeah, Mark Messier has something to say to you, Dan, about being the greatest.
Yeah, I know. That's why I didn't go there with the hockey side. I mean, him guaranteeing a win and Barry's a hat trick. That's as legendary as it gets.
So, take us through a few more of your teammates. Maybe who is the greatest player you ever played with, Michael, at the NHL level?
It'd probably be a toss-up for Rick Nash and Marian Gaborik, because Rick Nash just was had those couple concussions when he was the ultimate power forward. Yeah. And if he got ahead of steam, you couldn't take the puck off this guy. He was taking it to the net, and there was no way you're stopping him. And then I played with Gabby when he scored 40 goals, which is no easy task. And I mean, little pat on my back, I assisted on quite a few of them on the power play. But they were both amazing players. Claude Giroux would be up there for probably the best half-wall player I've ever seen. I've been fortunate to play with some great players, some guys in their prime, some guys out of their prime. I mean, Henrik Lundqvist has got to be up there too. I was with him in his prime, and he is, you just look at his stats, they're incredible.
Of these three I'm about to name, as a defenseman, which one sends you into not a panic, but where you're on high alert? McDavid, Ovechkin, or Crosby?
Ovechkin has the shot. I still think Crosby's the best player, the most complete. But as far as one-on-one, it's not even a question. It's McDavid. Just with his.
So when he steps on the ice, are you like, oh?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. With him, the scary part is, and some people agree with me, some people disagree, defensemen. You know, everyone talks about like having a good gap and closing the gap. With McDavid, I find it's the opposite. I want to give him space because it's not often that he's going to shoot through you, or he doesn't have the Ovechkin shot where he could literally step over the blue line and beat the goalie clean. With McDavid, he usually beats you one-on-one, and he's within the hash mark in either deking the goalie or has a grade A chance. So I'd rather let him shoot from the outside as opposed to being tight on gap and knowing he's just going to blow me wide or make me look silly and be on, you know, SportsCenter top 10 every single day. but that's in my opinion.
So when you're playing McDavid, like, does your coach have to point it out that you're playing him, or point out anything specific, or you guys all know?
If you have to point it out, then you're probably going to lose already. You're going to have that one circled on the calendar. He's just that good. Like, look at that movie made on Morgan Riley this year. Like, Morgan Riley is one of the best skaters in the league. And he went around him like he was, you know, a pylon, which he isn't. Morgan Riley is one of the best defensemen in the league. But that just goes to show how good Connor is. He's just levels above
everyone. And you know what's scary, Michael? I was saying this on Edmonton radio last week. This whole, as bad as this coronavirus epidemic is, and as bad as this is for everybody, for Connor McDavid, who's had some injuries the last couple of years and maybe has brushed himself back a little bit because he's a competitive guy, and of course you would do that.
Yep.
To just be forced to sit for a little bit, and obviously he's going to dry land train and all that, but just to be forced to sit maybe is the best thing for his career long term. I don't know. And maybe that's the worst thing for you guys. I don't know.
I agree with you. That's why if, and I know guys have talked about it, if playoffs do happen this year, it's going to be a really, really good brand of hockey because everyone's going to be healthy. Yeah. You're not going into playoffs with bumps and bruises, little things that you would normally not play on. But obviously, as you said, being competitive guys, you're going to play. So if playoffs happen, it's going to be, as a fan, it's going to be incredible to watch. It's going to be some great, great hockey.
Michael, before we let you go, you said Crosby's the best. I liked how you broke down Connor's game. Break down Crosby as a defenseman when he's coming at you. Like, and also how he gets open. Like, sometimes he scores goals. You're like, how is Sidney Crosby that wide open?
The best player is a puck seems to find them a lot of times. But with Crosby down low, he's so strong on his edges, on his skates. He can overpower, he can manhandle you in a way. But with him too, what I still think makes him the best player is his ability to pass the puck on his forehand and his backhand. So yeah, he can score goals, but a lot of guys, whether it's behind the net or down low, you're forcing them to their backhand. With him, you could force him to his backhand and he's throwing a cross ice saucer pass over two sticks right on a guy's tape back door for an empty netter. So that's what makes him so good is just his ability to do everything at a high speed, but also be able to do everything on his forehand and his backhand.
I got to say, not only do you look the part as a TSN analyst, but you absolutely nailed this analysis. Like, you could be hired immediately. Again, we don't have the money to do it.
I'll take Raisin Brand, I guess. We're Raisin Dad, yeah.
Michael, what's on the playlist on these house parties?
Mostly
house music. That's kind of my genre. Some for me would be old school hip hop, like late 90s, early 2000s. Like that's what I grew up on. So I'll try to mix some of that in with more of a quicker beat, a little more up tempo house beat. But it's different each week. I kind of have something I put together, a rough idea of what I'm going to play, and then I'm going on Instagram Live. Some people request some stuff. But I try to cater to everyone, similar to the locker rooms, you know, having to play some older stuff for some of the older players and then some new stuff for the young little brats coming up in the league.
Okay, I keep asking our DJ buddy, Ryan Shepherd, to do a remix of Billy Joel's My Life because of the opening piano. He hasn't done it, so maybe you can throw that in Friday night.
My Life. Okay, I can see what I can do, yeah.
Because it starts with da-da-da-da-da-da, and then you could bump, bump.
You want the piano dropped into a beat, I guess?
Like, yes.
Out of your Tiesto.
Yes.
I'll see what I can do. No promises. But I'm working on a couple of things, yeah.
All right.
I'll try my best. How have you guys been doing? What's been keeping you guys busy?
Just trying to get my tripod to go up, and not that tripod, a different tripod, a real tripod.
I was going to say, yeah. You know, my forearms look like Popeyes right now. It's incredible.
I've been making dice. I'm making dice at home.
Wow.
That's what it's come to.
Michael, we're only a month in. This could get dark.
I know. I'm a little worried what happens in the second month here. I know. I'm with you guys. As long as it warms up, though, at least, you know, that helps a little bit. Like this weather. I had a hailstorm the other day. Today, these winds. Like, this weather is unbelievable here. I didn't sign up for this.
I know. I'm with you.
Cali, that's for sure.
I'm with you. And I'm like talking to my buddies back in Alberta, and they're like, it's minus 20. I'm like, okay, so I guess I shouldn't be complaining. But at the same time, I really want to complain. Like, it's not great, but when it does warm up, yeah, it'll be a lot better.
Yeah, here's what we told ourselves, Michael, when we came back from L.A., because every day is the same. It's nice. Here, you really appreciate those nice days.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if you guys found this. I couldn't believe it. Like, the locals in Cali would be excited when it rained. I'm like, it's just nice every day. I'm like, yeah, I want it nice every day. Like, who wants the rain? Like, who's getting excited about it? But I guess they're just so used to the consistent good weather. But, I mean, regardless, if I lived there for 10 years, I think the good weather, I'm okay with no rain.
Me too. And also, when it rains there, it's as if it's like a minus 40 snowstorm here. Like, everyone forgets how to drive there in the rain, and it's chaos.
Yeah, everyone acts like a bunch of idiots when it rains. I know.
Listen, Michael, this is awesome, man. It was really nice of you to join us and do this and put on a jacket.
I was going to wear a hat. I was like, you know what? It'd be the first time I dressed up. I figured you guys would appreciate it. Why not?
I wore this shirt for you, Michael. This is our buddies in Saskatchewan. Nice. Player Golf makes these shirts.
It should be Playa Golf if he's going to talk dirty.
That's right. So hopefully by the end of the summer, we'll all be out golfing, the four of us here.
I would love that. That'd be great. Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it. And I hope you and your family stay safe. All right.
Okay. And Instagram your concert Friday. What time?
4:30 Eastern.
On what Friday. 4:30? I thought it was like 8, 9 o'clock at night.
I'm up for suggestions. I was going to ask people if they'd rather it later, because for West Coast, it's going to be 1:30. But I figure that like happy hour right before people are having dinner.
Okay.
Yeah,
I like
smash
it.
A couple of drinks before, loosen up a little bit. Like,
okay,
that's
I like it. Idea. Okay, 4:30.
That's right.
Yeah, but I was thinking about that too. Maybe a post dinner, like when people are really trying to take it to the next level, because I mean they got nothing else to do.
I'm gonna be tuned in. I can't wait.
Yeah. A couple get the tequila for happy hour, and then I'll take care of the rest. All right, toss your dancing shoes on. Let me take you home.
Okay,
that
can't wait.
Pretty good. Thanks, Michael.
Okay, thanks, Michael. Guys. Take care. All right.
Somebody, you've got to hang up now. There, he did. Really quick.
That was great. What a nice guy. Man, now, that was you know, seeing someone like him be, I don't know, so positive and calm and chill, you know, it's inspiring. It's cool, man. He's a good dude.
And he planned out my Friday now.
Yeah, you're going to be all over that Delzato DJ set.
Imagine this. You tune in, it's like bad DJ. He's like,
yeah. What if he's terrible?
That happened
what
once.
It's like a Tiffany song, and then like a light funky one, Summer Girls, into I don't know, just bad tunes over and over, and everyone's like,
This is not even a lie. I once had a friend who's always taking pictures with a nice camera, and they handed me the camera once and showed me the picture. I'm like, oh, she's gonna be awesome. They were all horrible. It's like this person had no clue what they were shooting, and they thought they were like a professional.
But I got the impression when Michael said, you know, that he'd play, you know, different tunes for different people in the dressing room. So obviously he is one of those guys on the team that is your DJ on the team.
Oh yeah.
So that makes sense. That's good training, you know, because you get to know. You're trying to make, you know, 25 guys happy. You got to figure out the room a little bit. And that's a good microcosm for making an entire room full of people happy at the clubs, like your buddy Ryan Shepherd.
Make 25 guys happy. The Kristoff story.
That's like me setting up my tripod.
I know I'm going to like Delzato's music. So, I think we're into the same stuff. So that'll be good.
That was fun. All right. Don't forget, once again, last time, we're on in the mornings again. Jay and Dan from home, brought to you by McDonald's. In the mornings, starting Tuesday morning, the 14th of April. So check us out, TSN 4 and 5. We'd love you to spend your mornings with us.
Yeah, make sure you keep self-isolating, washing your hands. I just sprayed my hands down. This is the homemade stuff that they have at the health food store here in Orono. Well, it's 80% alcohol.
Okay, well, that'll kill it for sure. That'll kill whatever's on your hands.
Yeah, I felt a little dirty. There. Yeah. So, yeah, I guess that's
all she wrote. Stop. I hope you have a great week, buddy.
Likewise. A lot happening.
And as Sean Cullen says, take care, wipe your hands, and wash your bum. Oh, no. No, I said it wrong.
Wash your hands, yeah. Wipe your bum.
Wipe your bum.
In that order.
Well, wash your hands and wash your bum. Leave the toilet paper on the roll. Jump in the shower. That's what I always say.
Again, I still have not bought toilet paper through this entire thing, and I didn't I didn't have any stockpile.
You spray down. You get in there and spray down. You feel so much better afterward.
Bye.
Bye.
Third hole.
Listening to the Jay and Dan podcast, brought to you by our friends at McDonald's. James Duffy presents the Rubber Boots Podcast.
So we're sitting down at our table. The waiter comes up. And he's like profusely sweating. And this is like 100% his first line to us. He goes, "Hello, I am not well. I'm very ill."
You ate there?
I came down with it yesterday. I've just not been good, not good at all.
Get it at tsn.ca and anywhere you get your podcasts.